السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم زدني علما، اللهم لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. Ya Allah, open the hearing channels of our hearts to your remembrance and don't let our hearts deviate from the truth after you have guided us. Ya Allah, increase us in useful ilm, that knowledge, that essential knowledge which brings us closer to you and helps us in your obedience and helps us in the ittiba' of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So welcome back to all of our dear brothers and sisters after a hiatus of almost a month. I hope some of you missed these sessions, because once you get hooked on the Quran, it is difficult to leave it. And so we should always be attached to the Quran, even when nothing else is going on in terms of formal classes, for our own reading, for our own reflection. And I had sent out a message yesterday advising our dear brothers and sisters to do some reading ahead of time so that we can participate and get the most out of this gathering. So inshallah, we are going to continue in our pursuit of learning together some of the Makkan Quran that was revealed in the early part of the Nabuwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, revealed in Mecca before the Hijrah, in a hostile environment where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his handful of followers were being persecuted, where they were being rejected and ridiculed and belied and denied and tortured and killed. And as you all know and recall, that most of the Makkan Quran deals with Imaniyat, with the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the Day of Judgment, with the Risala of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talks about the Quran, talks about previous nations, talks about the Day of Judgment and the Akhirah. So it's the same themes that we are going to cover in the Surah number 88 that we are going to cover today, which is Surah Al-Inshiqaq. It is also called Inshaqqat, number 88. Inshaqqat means something that's torn apart or rent asunder. And this comes from the first ayah, referring to the sky. So this is the Makkan Surah. And the themes in this surah are closely related to the previous surahs, number 84, At-Takwir, number 82, Al-Infitar, and number 78, An-Naba, all of which we have covered in previous sessions dealing with the Day of Judgment. Then they follow the same pattern, and it's closely knit and similar to At-Takwir and Infitar, and also to the one before it, which is Al-Mutaffifin, which we have not covered, which is Surah number 83, which inshallah, perhaps the next one we can cover and complete this whole series of surahs. So this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has four segments in this. The first five ayats of the surah, they talk about the start of the Day of Judgment, the events and the startling events that will herald, which will give an indication to the people who are alive at that time, that this whole system is being destroyed that Allah had created, that the laws of nature as we know them are being violated. And it's going to be a very scary and startling event, because it's like nothing that humanity has ever seen or even imagined. Just imagine when a bad earthquake comes or a volcano erupts, what kind of, even if there is a little fire in a house, in a building, what kind of chaos takes place, what kind of stampede takes place in crowds. Just this, these, the events that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about is just unimaginable. So those are the first five ayats that deal with the events of the Day of Judgment. And then from ayah number 6 to ayah number 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the journey of man through this life, what his life is, where he is heading to, goes into the Day of Judgment, and what is going to be the end result of that Day of Judgment. And then from ayah number 16 to 19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath and calls our attention to some of his signs, the laws of Allah in nature, to reflect upon them and to derive conclusions from them about the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the truth of this message, and to increase us in our yaqeen. And then the last few ayats from ayah number 20 to 25 are an admonition, a warning, a final warning, if you will. About the end and what the end of the two groups is going to be. So let us start with the beginning, the first ayahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إذا السماء انشقت وأذنت لربها وهقت. So these are the first two ayats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إذا. And the word إذا means when. And this is a conditional phrase. Normally, when we say إذا means when this happens, then there is a consequence. A jawab means when this happens, then such and such thing will happen. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that when the skies are torn apart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying if the skies are torn apart. He is saying when they are torn apart. In other words, there is a certainty, there is an inevitability that the skies were created to be torn apart. They are going, this is something that's going to happen. It's almost like in past tense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give after this the answer to the then, what will happen when this happens. Why? Because it has already been spelled out in the previous surahs that have come before. Like the two surahs we talked about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ إِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَصَرَتْ. After then, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Then man will know what he has brought forward and what he has left behind. In the other surah it says, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Man will know what he is presenting, where he is. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not mentioned what will happen then, because we already know, we are familiar with it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the skies are torn apart, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَهُقَّتْ. أَذِنَتْ has two meanings. From udhun, which is to hear, when it hears, and the other is idhn, which means permission of a command, that when the skies, the heavens that we see the lowest heaven out of seven, but when all of the seven heavens, with everything that is within, all the galaxies, all the creation, the planets, and that we don't know, the black holes, everything is torn apart. It's ripped apart in a final, irreversible end for which it was created. وأذنت لربها وحقت. In other words, the skies are listening for the permission of Allah to rip apart. Inshaqqat means they will do it by themselves. There is no external force. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us elsewhere in the Quran that the skies are raging to split apart. Why? Because of all the disobedience that is going on the earth. Because the skies, like all the rest of Allah's creation, are living in their own way. And they are in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they see disobedience coming, they get upset and angry and they want to just destroy everything. Same thing with the earth. Yet they cannot because they are waiting for the command of Allah. But they already know, it has been programmed into them that a day Allah's command will come, now you may disintegrate, you may tear apart. So the skies were created for that end, because then only will the reality, the haqiqah of the akhirah start. And we don't know what these skies are hiding from us of reality. It's only when the skies are torn apart, then we will know the reality of everything. So, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is the skies listening for the command of Allah, the permission to tear apart. This is the disruption of and destruction of the existing laws of Allah in nature. Adhinat, that they hear Allah's command and they obey immediately. They hear and they obey because it is their right. It is correct for them, and it is Allah's right to be obeyed, to be in complete submission, to be in complete obedience. They don't have a choice. Everything Allah created, everything, kulla shay, is in obedience and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have no choice. Only two of Allah's creation were given a choice, man and jinn. So a human being who is on his natural fitrah will immediately obey the command of Allah, like the rest of the creation. While there are others, like most of us, who look at it, who analyze it, who intellectualize it, and they see, well, this is the benefit, this is the harm, then they decide whether they're going to obey or not. But look at the skies. Allah says, go, and they disappear. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, and when the earth is muddat, is stretched out. It's stretched out like you stretch leather. It is stretched out and spread. It's leveled, it's elongated. And this is a passive verb. In other words, it's going to be done. It's not going to do it on its own. So if you know the way Allah's laws work, there are tectonic plates that are working under the earth that push each other and they become mountains. They become mountains and valleys, and all of these come from movements of the earth, the movements of the continents, the movements of the tectonic plates. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He will pull all that apart and make it into one level stretched field, if you will. No mountains, no valleys, flat. One of the reasons for that, to accommodate everyone that is going to be assembled. And a hadith tells us that on the day of judgment, when the people are gathered, and there are going to be billions and maybe even trillions of people, from Adam alayhi salam till the last person, even then there will be only standing room, enough room for the feet, because of the crowding. And yet we also hear that people will be running because out of fear. Now how can you run when there's only standing room? Well, any of you who have been at Hajj or who have been anywhere else, if you have seen a stampede, that's what's going to happen. People are going to get trampled upon. Now we assume that this is this earth, that this is going to happen because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ard. After this, will the earth be round like a ball like it is? Or will it be flattened out, you know, like you have a ball of dough and then you're making a pizza or a roti a bread, you spread it out. Will it be like that? Only Allah knows. And we believe this is an actual physical flattening and stretching out of the earth. It is not metaphorical, you know. It's not metaphorical that it will be flat. Because, or, you know, like, for example, in the dua of Safar, we say, وَطْوِيَنَّا بَعْدًا, O Allah, shorten our distance. That's not a physical shortening. That's metaphorical, make our journey easy and quick. But this is going to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ. أَلْقَى means to throw something. So the earth will throw, like we say, you know, the Musa alayhi salam, Alqa Asa, you know, he threw his asa, his staff. Here the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when it, as it's being flattened out, it will throw out, it will eject, it will put out ma fiha, whatever is in it, everything that is inside it will come out. Just like we see lava coming out of the earth and we see things, we will see bodies coming out. We will see treasures coming out. We will see secrets coming out. We will see metals coming out. But most importantly, every human being would be thrown out of the earth. To what degree? وَتَخَلَّتْ. تَخَلَّتْ means to empty it of everything, to get rid of all of its burdens. And we covered this also in Surah Zilzal. وَأَخْرَجَتُ الْأَرْضُ. You know, it will take out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, as the earth is stretched out, it will put out everything that is inside it. And then the same ayah is repeated. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. Because it hears what the Lord says, what is the Lord's command and permission, and responds to the call immediately. Listen and obey. Now for us, we consider the earth and the skies as inanimate, and yet we see Allah is telling us they listen and they obey the commands of their Lord. And the point to reflect here is, how many calls do we hear and we remain deaf to it? And how many calls of Adhan that we've heard that we did not respond to? And how many calls we hear and not only not respond, but worse, we hear and we disobey. Like the Bani Israel. Samana wa asana. Samana wa asana. We hear and we disobey. Whereas our attitude as believers should be Samana wa ta'ana. We hear and we immediately obey. Allah is giving us an example of the heavens and the earth. Look, this is how they are. Everything in creation obeys and submits willingly without a choice to Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us elsewhere in the Quran, when He created everything, heavens and earth and mountain, says, come to obedience forcefully or willingly. They say, we submit willingly. Only man and jinn who are given the choice to submit and obey or to reject and disobey. But also remember, when Allah is telling us about the heavens and the earth, that they are also going to be witnesses against us or for us for what we did. Therefore, what we should derive from this is not how this is going to happen or when it is going to happen, but we should be the ones who are consciously obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, willingly and lovingly. Because after these first five ayahs, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us as mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. Look at the address. Ya ayyuhal insan, O man. And this addresses believers, all of humanity, believers, disbelievers, but it's particularly because we believe in this kalam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that especially for me, insan, or you who forgets, insan from nasiya, don't forget, Allah is telling us, this is the key ayah of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, oh, you forgetful man. What about you? Innaka kadihun, indeed you are surely kadihun, toiling, struggling, laboring all your life in a struggle to the point of exhaustion. In good ways or bad ways, at every stage you are toiling and you are moving towards kadihun. Kadihun ila rabbika, towards your Lord. You are moving. Kadhan famulaqi, you are toiling and you are toiling. What is this toil that we are talking about? And this will continue till the end of our lives. Some may want ease, some may want shortcuts, some may want have laziness, procrastination, but there is a struggle at every stage, a struggle to be born, a struggle to grow up, a struggle to educate, struggle to get a job, struggle to obey Allah, struggle to work, struggle to earn, struggle to marry, struggle to have a family, to struggle to support a family, to deal with challenges of life, social, economical, physical, political, psychological, health challenges. Everything is a challenge. And Allah is telling you, you are on a conveyor belt that is moving only in one direction. And that direction, for everyone, believer or disbeliever, is towards Allah. You are toiling day after day towards your Lord. Week after week, month after month, year after year. So quickly we are in this new year. Towards a meeting with Him. These are small. Every day is a small milestone. Every week is a small milestone. Every month is a small milestone. We are going. We are leaving. And there are some larger milestones in our lives. You know, when you graduate, when you get your first job, when you get married, when you have your first child, and so on and so forth. But they're just milestones in this journey. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمُلَاقِي, you will meet Him, you will meet your Lord. There's another understanding to this, that you will meet the fruit of your labor. The actions that you have, and you can combine the two, the actions that you have done, what you have earned, you will meet them both. In other words, you will meet Allah along with your actions. Your deeds will accompany you. Now the question to ask for me and for you, what do you want to meet Allah with? What do you want your record to show when He, Azza wa Jal, opens it? What do you want recorded in it? And if we keep that in front of us, our lives will be rectified. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this reality is coming. Then the next stage, so that meeting, the struggle of the life, then the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The books, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. And the one who is given his book of deeds, in his right hand. And the right hand symbolizes ennobling, honoring. This person is being honored on that day, like in a graduation ceremony, that this person graduated. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that Kitabul Abrar, the book of the righteous, is in fil illiyun, an inscribed Kitabul Marqum, an inscribed book. So just if we could imagine, and we don't know what these books look like, we don't know what our records look like, we don't know how they are, the books that will be given, in what form that writing will be, but we know it will be. So from the illiyun, which is the collection of the books of this, each one's book will be given in the right hand, inshallah, for all of us. And as soon, this is the indication, the rahmah of Allah starts, the ease for the believer starts right there. As soon as a person receives the book in his right hand, What does it mean? Fasawfa. And then yuhasabu. His hisab is hisaban yasira. Is an easy reckoning. What does an easy reckoning mean? An easy reckoning means that Allah will look at the book. He will not scrutinize it. He will not question. He will forgive. As if all the horrible things that were written in there never occurred. He will not push them in front of them. What is this I see about you? How dare you did this? How dare you? Because hisaban yasira means Allah opens, he says, go, okay, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frequently used to make a dua in his salah. He used to say, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. Oh Allah, make my hisab an easy reckoning, an easy hisab. So our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked Ya Rasulullah, what is this hisaban yasira? Because Allah is going to take hisab from everyone. He said, Ya Aisha, no. Hisaban yasira means that Allah does not take hisab. He looks at the book and he forgives. He doesn't question. There is no scrutiny. No accounting is taken. The book is taken and given as a forgiveness. Because the one in whose book Allah looks and then he questions, he will surely perish. He will be punished. Adab. The one who Allah starts to question, that is a sign that this person is going to have punishment of some degree. So the one who is given the book in the right hand will have an easy reckoning. The first bashara is right hand. Then it's not looked at. The mistakes are not pointed out. And this is what we make dua for. This is what we hope for. But this is not what we should be feeling content with. Oh, I'm a believer. I pray. I fast. I don't tell lies. What more do you want from me? I'm going to have hisab and yasira. That should never be the attitude. You know what was the attitude of the best of this ummah? Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq used to say that if I have one foot in Jannah and the second foot is not yet in Jannah, I would feel insecure from the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it will overtake me and I will not enter Jannah. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, all those who have been given the bashara of Jannah, said, if on the day of judgment a caller calls that everyone can enter Jannah except one, I would be afraid that that one is Ibn Khattab. This is the degree of fear they had. They didn't take it easy. That, oh, I've been given bashara of Jannah, no problems. So we should have that fear of that day. Yet we hope and we pray and we do dua that Allah does not take us to hisab, that we are the people of hisabi yasira. So once this happens, what is the next step? فَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then this person, يَنْقَلِبُ, return, إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ, to his family, مَسْرُورًا. So returns from that hearing to which family? To which family? Ahlihi. We're not talking of going back to the earth. We are talking about to those family members of his who have already entered Jannah. So he will now go and join them. And he will go and join them with a glow on his face of happiness and bursting in happiness. Masroora. Surur, joy, which comes from the sir, the deepest, the secret, the innermost joy. And the face will be radiating that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَتَعْرِفُ وُجُوهَهُمْ بِالنَّذْرَةِ النَّعِيمِ. That you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will recognize them with the glow on their faces, which is another bashara that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be there for us to see when we come across successful. So these are the people who are the ultimate winners, the successful. We will go and join those members of our family who have succeeded. Now, we also know that not everyone of every family will be there in Jannah. We know that the father of the Khalil of Allah, Azar, father of Ibrahim alayhi salam, will not be joining Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is not going to be joining him. That Nuh alayhi salam is not going to be joining his son or his wife. Lut alayhi salam is not going to be joining his wife. It's for the righteous, the ones who make Jannah. So it's very, very important that we take care of our families so that the ones we claim to love here, that we can be together in Jannah. It is not a guarantee. It requires work, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that your family, your children, your wealth, there are trial. Elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum." There are some of them can be enemies to you in your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do we have to do? We have to work with our families that we are working in the same direction, that the husband and wife and children, the wheels are turning in the same direction, so we go there. It's not like one wheel is going this way and one wheel is going this way. The car is never going to make a headway. Or one is going fast and one is very slow. It goes around in circles. We have to learn together. We have to practice together. We have to encourage each other towards goodness. We have to pray together. Then only we can hope to be together. And it's Allah's mercy. Elsewhere in the Quran, He tells us that peoples from the family would be in different levels according to the amal. Now they want to meet each other. So the ones above will not be brought down. But the ones who are lower levels, Allah will elevate their levels to give joy to the one at the higher level. That's why we should feel happy if we have a hafiz, if we have a righteous person. We should encourage people in our family to be righteous rather than criticizing them. Oh, you are a fanatic, you are this, you are that. We should encourage each other. I want somebody in my family to be right up there under the arsh, so that from my lowest level, by Allah's grace, I'll be taken up to be with that person. So it's very, very important. Just remember the attitude of the Anbiya and the Salihun and the Sahaba towards their family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a scene of Yaqub alayhi salam on his deathbed in Surah Baqarah. He's dying and he's surrounded by his children. What does he say? Who are you going to worship after me? Who are you going to worship after me? That's his concern. Not where is your rizq going to come from? And they say, we worship your Lord, the Lord of our father and of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Similarly, we know Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to wake up his family, his children for tahajjud. Today we don't wake up our children for fajr because, oh, let the poor child sleep. Even the poor child is 16 years old. So we have to change that attitude. We want our families together. We make the dua, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurratu ayn. What does it mean? Wallah, make our spouses and our children qurratu ayn, coolness of our eyes, that gives us peace and satisfaction and joy. But it's not going to be joyful, may Allah forbid, if we see one of those loved ones being dragged into the hellfire. The time to make the effort is here. Ultimately, it's all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are tasked to make that effort. In the next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opposite image. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُ ثُبُورًا وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. And the one who is given his book, wara, means behind, dhahri, without, behind his back. Now you might say, well, we know elsewhere in the Quran that the one utiya kitabahu bi shimalihi, the one who is given his book in his left hand, here is saying behind his back. So how do we reconcile the two? It's very easy, because the criminals who are going to be given this book in their left hand, which is a symbol of humiliation, of eternal failure, of punishment, of shame, of disgrace, there's a ticket to hellfire, they will be bound. They will be bound in chains and brought there. And how will they be bound? The right hand around the neck and the left behind the back, like this. Left hand bound by chains behind the back. And you know, sometimes when you do martial arts and other things, if you take somebody's hand behind and you twist it, what do you make that person do? They bend forward. So even the angels might twist that to make them bow. You didn't do ruku to Allah, now is time to do ruku and sajda. You can get person down just by twisting the hand behind their back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yes, the book will be given in their left hand, but behind their backs. So you can't even read it, but you know for what you have done, what it contains. Kitabul Fujjar, Lafi Sijjin. From that record, Marqum Kitab, that is inscribed, in which all the records of these rebellious, arrogant, disobedient people are, who denied, records will be given behind their back. And the person who is given their book behind their back immediately knows what's coming. And he's already seeing on the fire, as we've covered in the last few surahs, you know, 70,000 angels holding back 70,000 of those rains to hold it back. He's seeing that. So what does he do? He knows what's coming. As soon as he gets this book, yad'u, he calls, he makes dua, he pleads to Allah, to the angels that are binding him and grabbing him and pulling him. Thubura, what does he want? My destruction. Give me destruction, give me death, because I won't be able to take what's coming ahead. Just like we have examples, like when people suffer a lot in this dunya, they said, you know, I wish for death to get relief of this. But also we remember, we have covered before, that before all this starts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring death in the form of a white ram and have it sacrificed there. This was death, there is no more death. So even though this person will beg for death and to be killed, there is no death after this. So it is no choice but to endure. Endure what? What you chose. The consequences of what you denied, what you ignored, what your intoxication in the dunya made you forget, the reality of this day. What wealth and power made you feel invincible, unanswerable to anyone. Who is going to question me? That attitude. This person lived for the moment. I'm in charge. And this is the end. Yasla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Yasla, he will be entered and burnt, roasted in Sa'ira. The word for Jahannam used here is Sa'ir, which means blazing fire with tall, tall flames. You know, just imagine flames like skyscrapers. The flames on the surface of the sun in this dunya, there are hundreds of thousands of miles high. We already, the telescopes see those. That the earth were to come close, it would just disappear. This is the flame of Jahannam, which is hotter than any flame or any heat of this dunya. The word Sa'ir also implies in which there is nothing good. There is no goodness in Jahannam. Except one. What is the goodness that comes out of Jahannam? That it will be used to purify some of the believers from their sins so that they can enter Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this person who lived like that, who is now in Jahannam, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا سِمِنْ. Indeed, he used to also return to his family, go to his family very joyously. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before talked about the believers in the hereafter joining their families. Here he's talking about the believers. Here, the disbelievers, the disobedient. He used to live joyfully amongst his family, heedlessly, in a sort of false sense of success, insecurity, feeling convinced that he had achieved happiness and he was free to do anything while pursuing every whim and fulfilling every desire with his family. Give them whatever they want. Let me do whatever, indulge in this dunya. This is how he lived. Why? إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَنَّي يَحُورُ. Because indeed, he thought, he was convinced that لَنْ يَحُورُ, there will never be يَحُورُ, return. حَور means to return. Return to his Lord. He didn't believe that he was going back. He thought that this life is an endless joy. He can do whatever he wants. This was his attitude. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bala, Inna Rabbahu kana bihi basira. No, to the contrary, his Lord, bihi basira. He was watching him. Always watching everything about him, everything around him, everything inside of him, every action, every thought, every word, every intention, every desire, every plan. Even though the angels recorded it, the earth recorded it, the skies recorded it, the body parts recorded it, but most important, even without those records, Allah was watching him. He was witness over everything, always aware. While he was not aware that Ar-Raqib was watching him. What do I learn from this? That I need to have reminders everywhere, like sticky notes. Ar-Raqib is watching you. In my car, in my work, in my room, everywhere, till I get into that state of constant muraqabah, watching myself, that Allah is watching me. Because if I get into that state, I will never disobey my Lord. Because I know Allah is watching me. This thought comes to me, Allah knows it. So I get rid of it. And we see examples of this in our lives. You're driving along carelessly on your cell phone, 75 miles, 95 miles. Some of you drive very fast. Don't follow the speed limits. The moment you see a police officer on the side, what happens? The cell phone disappears. Both hands on the steering. Seat belt is on. 65 miles an hour. Instantly. Now, if we had that awareness of Allah watching us, how beautiful would our drive be to Him? Azza wa Jal. So this is the end of the second segment. Now we go to the third segment, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to do with, reminds us of the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. He says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقُ. Now, these are oaths. As you know, in previous surahs, the surahs started with oaths. Here, there is a variation that the oath comes in the middle of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no to all of those wrong ideas. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ, I swear. بِالشَّفَقُ. What is shafaq? The twilight, the redness of the horizon after sunset. And some of these last few days, last week, there was a beautiful, last Monday, it was red like anything. Many of you have taken pictures, some were even shared. That is the shafaq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that I swear by that red glow of the western horizon after sunset. وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقَ, and by the night and what it envelops and enshrouds. And what? وَمَا means everything that happens in the night, that the night covers. It's not like everything just becomes dark, But everything that goes, it enshrouds the objects, the created beings that we know and we don't know, the created events that are going on in the night, the actions of people going on. Everything that happens in the night, Allah swears by the night and everything that it covers. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا اتَّسَقَ. And I swear by the moon when it gathers together to become a full moon. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking three oaths on his creation, and these are cycles. It will remind us of something. Because the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the jawab of this qasam, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقًا. La, lam of ta'keed, surely. What? You insan. And some, there is another interpretation that this is specifically telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But let's first take insan. Tarkaban. Tarkabunna, you will move forward. Rakiba means to ride, means you will ride forward. Tabakan an tabak, stage after stage. Just imagine. There is a journey. A horse delivers you from this point A to point B. Next horse takes you from point B to point C, and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, indeed, I swear by all of these creations that you will also progress stage after stage. You have something coming ahead of you. You are going to be delivered from one to the other, such as from your conception to your birth, from your birth to becoming an infant who is walking and talking, to one who is now school going, to one who has grown in strength, to one who is now earning a living, to one who is now having their own family, to one who has now reached middle age, to one who reaches an old age, and to one who reaches enfeeblement and senility. Till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those whom we permit to get to that long enough, live long enough, you will become as dependent and as helpless as when you were a baby. You will need to be fed, you will need to be changed, you will need to be walked, you will need to be turned, just like a baby. This is the destined journey of life that no one escapes or overturns, no matter how you fight it. You can be on your peloton 24/7. You are going down. It is in stages that our life goes. What is the relevance with those oaths? Allah mentioned the cycle of the sun. Sunrise comes to a zenith and sun sets. And what is remaining of this, that there was a sun? The shafaq. Similarly, the night. When it gathers, it starts, you could still see that it becomes so dark that nothing is visible. And then the next dawn comes, it disappears. And similarly, the moon, it starts with a little sliver, a crescent, and then becomes full, and then starts to go, and then disappears again. Everything is in cycles. Allah is reminding us of these signs that your life is also a cycle. Cycle of life, where you will have light and darkness in your life. You'll have cycles of happiness and sadness, of health and sickness, of being a child to being a parent, and so on and so forth. And nothing stops. We will keep moving stage after stage. You can also take this as a stage from when Allah created our arwah, our souls, and took the oath of acknowledgement of His tawheed. And then that next stage, we came into the wombs of our mothers, the soul was breathed at 4 months. And then we came here, and then we go into the graves and the realm of the arwah to the day of judgment, stage after stage. And then there is the day of judgment, and there are two destinations, the final stage. Only two destinations, Jannah or Nar. Now, those who said this is addressed to the Prophet ﷺ, also talking about the stages of how he was born as an orphan, and then how he grew up, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enriched him, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ennobled him, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him prophethood, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted him to be subjected to ridicule and torture and this and that, that he will go from there to become a statesman, to establish a state, to establish the deen, and to establish the ultimate truth till the day of judgment, stage after stage after stage. Finally, on the day of judgment, the first one to be resurrected, the first one to be honored, the one who will carry the flag of hamd of Allah on the day of judgment, stage after stage, to be entered into the Firdaus al-A'la, Maqam al-Mahmud, stages in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join us with him. Ameen. So, this is the destined journey that we have. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after telling us these, asks us to reflect. Now he comes into the last part, which is like a warning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Then what is the matter with these people? When they are called to Allah, they still لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They do not believe. They don't. Man, it's so obvious. They don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in His meeting. They don't believe in His revelation. They don't believe in His messenger. It's amazing. It's a question of amazement. What's the matter with them? It's amazing. It's so obvious. The evidence, the proofs are overwhelming. They're logical. They're experiential. You experience them. They're obvious. But the place of Iman is the qalb. So why doesn't the qalb accept it? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us previously, Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim. Nay. But their hearts are covered with an impenetrable black veil as a result of their sinful behavior. So no light can penetrate. The light of truth cannot penetrate. Therefore, they will not believe. They will not believe. No matter what proofs are there, no matter how obvious it is, that even if Allah were to come down, they would say this is magic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges us in these ayahs to look at the signs mentioned before and look in the ayats of the Quran, which is the other signs of Allah, for proof, for certainty of the truth, for us as believers. And it's important for us to remember that when we stop noticing the signs of Allah in the universe, when we just take everything for granted, we don't notice anything, we will start disconnecting from Him, Azza wa Jalla. Therefore, it's important, those of us with an urban lifestyle, to go out in nature to see where things come from. Otherwise, you ask a child, where does the milk and egg come from? They say from Big Y, from the grocery store. Where does this happen? Because that's where they see it's coming from. Go out in nature, see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of that is very, very important. And to reflect on the ayats of the Quran, which is the next ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the matter that they don't see all of these signs outside? Not only that, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. وَإِذَا, when? قُرِئَ, when it is recited, عَلَيْهِمْ, to them, upon them, al-Qur'an, the ayats of the Quran, لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. Let's take one 30-second pause, because this is an ayah of sajda. Let us do a sajda, preferably facing the qibla, and then we'll be right back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when the ayats of the Quran are recited to them, they do not fall down in sajda to acknowledge his lordship and to worship him lovingly in full surrender, putting their most prized portion, their face on the ground in front of him in humility, submitting in front of his word. So this is one of the ayats of sajda tilawa in the Quran. As most of you know, there are 15 and that most have agreed on, and some have said there are 14 because some take one in Surah Hajj, some take two. And we can talk about in the Q&A about the fiqh of sajda tilawa, how to do it, when to do it, all of that we can talk later. But let's finish this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when they hear these words, they are so powerful, they understand it. What should be the response of a person of with any heart, of any natural remnant of the fitrah in them? They would fall down in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of his word, that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. But instead, what do? These disbelievers not only don't fall down in submission in sajda, they deny and they persistently reject the truth of the Quran, the truth of the message of Allah, the truth of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they deny the arkan of iman. They deny Allah, they deny the revelations, they deny the messengers, they deny the day of judgment, they deny the akhirah, the jannah and the hellfire which they are going to see. So, fa. Before that, wallahu a'lamu bima yu'un. Yet Allah a'lamu, best knows. Yu'un means what they hide of secrets inside them. What they find? Wi'aya is a bag, you know, like we have in Surah Yusuf. Allah, when the Surah Yusuf, Yusuf alayhi salam checks the bag of his brother, thumma stakhraja min wi'a'i akhi, that it took out that cup, the goblet from his wi'a, from his bag. So Allah says, what the bag of their hearts contains, the secrets that are inside, Allah best knows what they hide inside of their secrets, the ills, the diseases, the plots. So Allah knows everything. They're denying all of this, yet Allah knows everything. Before he said, Bihi Basira, he's watching and he knows. A'lamu. Basir, al-Basir, wal-Alim. Two of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the consequence of what Allah knows and what they're doing? Fa, as a consequence, though. Bashirhum bi-adhabin alim. So then, bashiruhum, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give them the glad tidings. This is a sarcasm. Give them the glad tidings of what? That you're going to burn in hell. Bashiruhum, give them the tidings of what is coming ahead because of what you do. Endless suffering in the hereafter. This is the consequence. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still out of his rahmah, ar-Rahman, leaves the door open. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except, in spite of all of that, except before you die, آمَنُوا, if you believe and do good deeds. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who believe and they do good deeds. For them, there is إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. For them there is a reward. أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. مَمْنُونَ, something that can be cut off, that can be diminished, that can be stopped. This is an endless reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves that hope there, that if a person who believes in the true sense and shows that belief by good deeds, amal salih, prove it by good deeds, you know, walk the talk, for them, there is guaranteed, غَيْرُ مَمْنُون, that cannot be cut off, that cannot end, that will not fail, that's never-ending reward from their Lord, that no one can take away or decrease. Compare that with the dunya. No matter how much you have, what you have, how long you have had it, it is always tainted with something. You have fear about losing it. You can get sick, then you don't enjoy it. You are struggling to achieve it. Sometimes there's a decline. Sometimes it causes stress. And finally, even if none of that you experience, you had it, it ends anyway. but the reward of the hereafter is eternal. This is a surah about inevitability, inevitability of the day of judgment and what is coming. It is not a choice of if it is going to happen or when it is going to happen, but a choice of what you want your end to be, how I want my end to be. So you and I decide which way to live to determine which of the two endings we are going to have. It is about consequences. In this life, we are bound to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws. We have freedom of choice, but we do not have freedom from consequences of our choice. We have freedom of choice, but we do not have freedom from consequences of the choices we made. Every choice has a consequence, good or bad. In the dunya, the believers are bound and restricted by his laws, the Sharia. So we are bound by that, and if we live by that, we will be free from the negative consequences of his disobedience in the hereafter. You are free there. The disbeliever and the sinner, the rebellious one, he is free from Allah's laws in this dunya. Do whatever you want, but he will be imprisoned by the consequences of his disobedience and action in the hereafter. The sequence will be reversed. This is the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. That the dunya is like a prison for the believer because he lives by laws, restricted. It's not open, do whatever you want. And it's a jannah of the kafir. Jannah means do whatever you want. But the roles are reversed in the hereafter. There is jannah for the believer and the sijn of the kafir, which is jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completes this surah by tying the beginning, the two ends together. Tying the beginning of the surah, which was the beginning of the day of judgment. This is how it starts. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. Here it starts. And the end he brings with the two ends, the final destination. This is the end. The end of the day of judgment. The final assignment to one of two places in the hereafter. 25 brief ayahs, one page of the Quran, covers everything. If you didn't read any more of the Quran and you just obeyed this, if I just obeyed this and took it to heart, internalized it, actualized it, it would lead to the yameen, the hisaban yasira, the ajr ghayru mamnoon. What a beautiful way to live. And the jannah of the, or the decision of the believer in this dunya, living like a prison, has its own joys of obedience. When you fast the month of Ramadan, don't you feel happiness? When you finish obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the salah, don't you feel happy? When our brothers and sisters come back from Umrah and Hajj, aren't they overjoyed? So that prison of Allah is a blessing because it has its own joy in this dunya, which they do not know, the disbelievers. That's why some of our salaf said that if they knew what kind of joys we have inside, they would fight us with their swords for it. Some of them said, you can put me in the prison, but my jannah is in my heart. I'll still be in jannah. So let us, inshallah, with tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, internalize these, actualize these in our lives, and lead our lives in a way that we are among the successful. We and all of our families. And that family, ahlihi in the hereafter, is not just the genetic family, but also a family of believers. all of us, inshallah, who are on this Zoom meeting as one family, and all the ummah as one family. We will meet, inshallah, in the hereafter with joy on our faces. May Allah accept that, and may Allah make it easy for us. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.